It is so good to be in the house of the Lord, and so good to always see Mitchell traveling the distance he does to get here. What a dedicated man. But you know what? Christ traveled further. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, when he came here all the way from heaven, a distance in which no man can measure, and yet in the twinkling of an eye, he was here. And it doesn't take God's angels long to get here when God's children are in distress. If you don't believe me, if Gabriel was standing here today, that great warrior, that great messenger that went and told Mary that she was going to have Jesus, the Son of God, well, a few hundred years earlier, that same angel was sent by God with a message for God's servant named Daniel. Y'all know the story, don't you? Oh, say amen. I know you do.
Amen.
There he is. Woo, I love that little man. But something happened. When Gabriel was coming through the atmosphere, long before he got to the atmosphere, he was attacked. He came under attack by the Prince of Persia and his army. And for 3 weeks, this single-handed angel of God fought an army of demons. And they were not destroying him, because he belonged to God. Yeah. Yay. Amen?
Amen.
Woo. But yet, the message had to get through. And see, the enemy knew that that message couldn't get through, whatever that message was, because they didn't know the message. They knew that it couldn't get to Daniel. And they tried to stop it. And after 3 weeks of battling, Gabriel said, I had enough of this. I'm just saying in our vernacular, okay? But he called out. The Bible tells us that he called out. And there was a voice in heaven say, go get my son. Go help him. Because in Genesis chapter 6, it tells us that the angels are God's sons. It said, and the sons of God, talking about the angels. And the Lord Jesus Christ told Michael, that great warrior, go get him. What do y'all think happened when Michael showed up? The battle turned. Mitchell, demons began to tremble when Michael showed up. And when he did, Gabriel was able to get through and give that message to God's beloved named Daniel. But glory be to God, there's one greater than Michael. There's one greater than Gabriel. And certainly one greater than all the demons of hell. Jesus. See, he didn't have to show up. All he had to do was give the word. Amen? Because if he had showed up, woo, all of hell would have been destroyed. But it wasn't time. And Revelation 19 said he is going to show up. Amen?
Amen.
He is going to show up.
Amen.
In a huge way.
Yes, hallelujah.
And it's going to be a battle. Amen. It's going to be a battle that Satan going to have all of his army. In other words, all the demons are going to be mustered behind Satan. And every human who have rejected God, who rejected Jesus, is going to be behind Satan. It's going to be a begging man army. But when Jesus shows up, are you hearing me? When he break those clouds, when he appear in the atmosphere as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, things are going to change. And here's the point that let me help you get. This is not the message. This is just the glory of God. Israel is on the brink of annihilation. Israel is up in smoke now. The cities are burning. And the Israelites, their army is cornered. Nowhere to go. And the saints are fighting also. And they are cornered, just as Daniel would prophesy. And it looked like it's hopeless for us and for Israel. But then there appeared in glory the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with his brightness of his countenance. And the battle turns. And as we like to say in the army, Jesus never fires a shot. He shows up. And folks, today, for many of you, there's a battle raging somewhere in you, somewhere in your family. And all you gotta know that Jesus is gonna show up. You got to know and believe that Jesus is going to show up, and he's going to show up huge. And when he does, the battle is going to turn in your favor. Are you hearing me? As we look today in the book of Acts, in chapter 14, we're going to see some wonderful things from heaven. And what's going to happen here at this point in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the movement, the spreading of the gospel, brothers are in a prayer meeting and the Holy Spirit speaks. And he speaks audibly to the group.
That's right.
And he told them, set aside for me Paul are Saul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. What you're about to see in Scripture is what's known as Paul's first missionary journey. Now, let me warn you of something right now. It all starts off very well, and then it goes bottoms up. It doesn't look pretty for Paul. But in the end, we're going to see the power of God and the Holy Spirit at work. And because these men believe in the power of Jesus, and they knew who it was who called them and commissioned them to go out, the table is going to turn. And you're going to find out in the 21st century, things have not changed. Let me explain something further to you. There's very little threat against the church in the United States. Physical threat. But in other parts of the world, Christians are being killed. Some have to go underground to hear the gospel. Others are being burned alive in the streets. It's bad. The pastors in Vietnam are being arrested, and their wives are picking up the mantle, and they're carrying the gospel. What is happening? The Holy Spirit is at work. And the gospel cannot be stopped. It cannot be shut down.
Amen.
Amen.
People must know about God and his son Jesus and the power of his death and the power of his resurrection.
That's right.
And what you're going to see today is some brothers not knowing what lies ahead of them, is going to be faithful to God. And where the Spirit leads them, they're going to go. And they're going to meet some hostile crowds, even to the point that their very lives are going to be hanging in the balance. We haven't gotten there yet. Nobody has come through the door with a gun and said, "Shut up, preacher, or I'm going to shoot you."
Thank God.
Thank God. Okay? No one has took you and drug you in the middle of the streets and say, "Renounce Jesus right now, or we're going to set you on fire." No one has done that to us. But yet we're the least vocal when it comes to the gospel, to the things of Christ. But in these other nations where people's lives are threatened every day, especially in the Muslim world, these people are saying, "We find it a blessing to be persecuted for Jesus." Going, what? Oh yeah, they're being beat with canes. And they get up crying, their back split open, and they found themselves unworthy to be beaten like their Lord. And they go on in the power of the Holy Spirit to the next village, not knowing what waits them. And they go day after day after day. And many of them, brothers and sisters, are hungry. They don't have adequate shoes like we do. Look at me, I'm wearing Stacy Adams. That's because I got them on discount. And you know what? They don't have the shelter. They don't have the means that we have. I talked to some of my buddies in the Philippines. They're hiking days up the mountains just to carry the gospel to the villages in the mountains. They don't have adequate supplies, but they're going with what they have, and they're going in the power of God and of the Holy Ghost. That's what these brothers are doing. So Lord Jesus got a message for us today, and that message is the Holy Spirit has you on a journey. Don't turn back, because the journey gets tough. Don't quit because you face a hostile crowd. Don't quit because the voices of hell come against you. Because that's what you're going to see today. And you must follow the example of Paul and Barnabas. Don't quit on Jesus. You got it, brother. Don't quit on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he didn't quit on you. He didn't come down off the cross and say, "Lord, this is too much. This is too harsh. I can't take it anymore." He literally hung in there. And that's why you and I are his children today. Every head bow. Father, we thank you. We thank you that Lord Jesus, hurting in great agony, did not give up. But he knew exactly what his mission was. And he knew he had to accomplish the work that you sent him here to do. And after having demonstrated that, Father, the final thing that had to be done was his death on the cross. And Father, I don't understand this kind of commitment, because I never had to make that kind of commitment. But Jesus, it's difficult for me as a man to stand there and let other men spit in my face and slap me and punch me without me retaliating. But Lord, your word said you stood there and you did not open your mouth. And you was like a sheep that's dumb, that's being led to the slaughter. And yet, those men did not know that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. And as Paul would later write, he said, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified you. But Lord, we thank God for you that on the third day he raised you from the dead. And there's salvation. Salvation is not found in any other name other than the name of Jesus. And Lord, these men whom you commissioned by your Spirit, they had no idea what the journey held, but they went anyway. And in spite of the opposition that they faced, they stayed the course and they finished the race. They completed the mission and they came back and gave a testimony. So Lord Jesus, today in this 21st century, you're still calling men and women to go on missions, to carry your gospel to the lost. And you already know the danger. You already know the peril that they're going to be facing. And yet you still send them out because you know exactly what you're going to do with them. And the Holy Spirit is right there with them, going through it with them, strengthening them so that they could finish the course for the testimony of your great name. Now, Lord, we're asking you, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts and help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Acts chapter 14, the beginning of a new legacy on earth. The gospel has been preached in Jerusalem. The gospel has been preached in Judea. And the gospel has been preached in Samaria. Now the gospel must go to the ends of the earth. And what Lord Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, as we know it, he said, stay here in Jerusalem, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, which is the southern part of Israel, and Samaria, and to the rest of the world. People, the Holy Ghost did come on the day of Pentecost. And those men did receive power from on high. And they did begin to go out and preach the gospel. And signs and wonders followed them. And now, God has chosen two others outside of the 12. Remember, one of the 12 is dead. His name is Judas. And he was replaced by Matthias. They're back in Jerusalem. James, the brother that's been preaching the gospel, the one that went on the mountain with Peter and John, and they saw Jesus change right before them. He's dead. Herod had him beheaded. So times are tough now. It's tough to belong to the way. It's tough to believe in the name of Jesus.
It is.
And people, look around you. It's beginning to be tough now. If you believe in Jesus and you carry the testimony of Jesus in you and you stand for that testimony today, you are now labeled as a hater. The courts now want to come up with laws. These fancy lawyers and legislators want to come up with law to say, now, if you preach a gospel that tells people that they can't live and act a certain way, it's a hate crime. Yeah. It's going to get worse for us.
Outdated.
And it's not going to get better. Do you recall what Sodom and Gomorrah had did to God? They shook their sins in God's face with boldness and dared him to do anything. And what did the Almighty do?
Stop.
He destroyed them. These United States and other Western countries are now shaking its sin in the face of God.
Right.
Telling you, oh, it is your right to live the way you want to. Okay, that's fair. But it ain't your right to tell God he's wrong. And it's not your right to tell God's people, shut up. That's outdated. And you are now a criminal because you're preaching it.
You need to evolve with the ways,
all the times. Okay? I want to caution you with something with love. This gospel of the kingdom, from the front cover to the back, it's still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
It is not going to change because culture changes.
That's right.
And it's still the Word of God and will always be the Word of God.
That's right.
Living Word. And it never loses its power.
Amen.
Amen.
And so Paul and Barnabas, now in Iconium. Say that fast with me. Iconium.
Iconium.
Iconium is in the rugged hills, the mountainous areas of Turkey. Right on the verge of the province called Galatia. And Paul would later write a letter to that province called Galatia. Or Galatians for the people. It's a very remote Roman colony controlled by Roman soldiers. These men did not have the luxury of governmental transportation. Okay? And they have to get there the best way they can. Let's look at the text. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. The law said on the Jewish culture, if there were 10 or more Jewish men in a community, they had to have a synagogue. The word synagogue just simply means a meeting place, a place of assembly. The S-Y-N, sin, is the root word where we get synthesis and a couple other funny tongue-twisting words. Okay? It means to bring together. And for the sole purposes of worshiping God. So, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed that. Other words, Greeks or who? Not necessarily people from Greece, but who?
Gentiles.
But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. And that's what you're having today in the 21st century, 2016, because people don't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're stirring up garbage and they're poisoning the mind of everybody else who don't have the ability to resist that kind of teaching and that kind of laws and to oppose that kind of rhetoric.
That's right.
And then they tell you and I that we're narrow-minded.
Fast talk.
This is not new, what's happening in 2016 in our world. You see, it's happening right there in Paul's day. Just because you don't believe doesn't mean it's not true. Paul would later write in his letter to the Roman church in chapter 3, verse 3, he said, what if some don't believe? Does it make the faith of God without effects? And then the next verse, he says, let God be true and every man a liar. So why? So that every mouth will be shut. Just because you all don't believe, it has no impact on this. On the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not change the fact that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for sinners. As Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, he said, this is an absolutely sure fact. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And so these brothers are out there, and now there's a commotion going on, Mitchell. Can you imagine going somewhere under the power of the Holy Spirit, and now you're faced with a hostile crowd? And you don't know whether this multitude is going to get a hold of you and rip you limb for limb or not. You got on one hand, some say, no, these men, we believe what they're teaching. And the other go, you're out of your mind. We need to kill you. Y'all are probably getting in your cars and stuff, getting out of there very quickly, wouldn't you? Well, in that day, you just couldn't get out of town fast. Because even if you got on a mule, you couldn't move that fast. Amen? Amen? So you were stuck.
Get stoned.
Look on. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Isn't it something now? The unbelieving Jews. These are the people who knew the scriptures. It didn't say men and women from the Gentile did it. Who had no knowledge of the one true God, who fathers watched God move in the wilderness, who witnessed the plagues in Egypt from God. These were Jews who fathers experienced the power of God. And who the prophets wrote about the coming of the Messiah. And now they're saying, we don't believe that. And they're stirring up other people. We don't believe that. Well, how come you don't believe it and you never even heard of it? Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Did it sound like they retreated, Mitchell? They dug in their heels, everybody, and they planted their feet and said, we are not going anywhere. Why? Because their mission was greater than their life. Amen. The mission was to preach the gospel to the lost at all costs. The Holy Ghost knew what kind of crowd they would be facing. The moment and he came in that prayer meeting and said, set Saul and Barnabas aside for me. He knew what he was going to do with these men. Do you think maybe this caught him by surprise? No. Just like the events in your life doesn't catch him by surprise. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He knew then and he knows now, and he knows tomorrow. Amen. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. Boldly. Do you know what I witnessed Saturday at the graduation? I watched a change take place on the stage at the graduation. It used to be that they would tell those students, don't you talk about God. And you know what those kids got up to the podium and did? They talked about God.
Amen.
And they thanked Jesus for what he had done in their lives. So they have that boldness from the Holy Ghost. The kind of boldness that you and I are supposed to have. And if you realize it, you do have. So use it.
Did you see?
So who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands? Let me tell you something here, that they're in a new area. You got the Jews who didn't believe opposing them. And then you have a greater multitude of Gentiles who just haven't heard at all. Know nothing about the one true God and his son Jesus. There are literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them in this town. And these men, by the Holy Spirit, almost in this essence, saying, we're going to show you something. And what do they start doing? As they're preaching the gospel, they begin to perform miracles. They begin to do healings. They begin to cast out demons. They begin to open the eyes of the blind. They begin to prophesy. And they begin to have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. What did I just name to you all? The gifts of what? Of the Spirit at work in these men. And you know what they was doing? As they began to work these miracles and things, these signs and wonders, to a crowd that all of a sudden, at one second, they're believing what these Jews are telling them. And then when they begin to see the signs and wonders, they turn back and go, whoa. And then these brothers begin to give Jesus the glory. And they say, it's by his name that these things are happening. And what did you think they did to the heart of the crowd of the unknowing Gentiles? It turned their hearts to who? To Jesus. That was the purpose of it. And so these brothers preaching, performing signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. You see, as the Holy Ghost was at work, who was also at work?
The devil.
The devil. So now we got a split community. But that doesn't matter, do it? Because God is greater than the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Never forget that. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region. And they were there doing what?
Preaching
the gospel there. God will never lead you to a place where he can't keep you. And there's no place on this earth that God can't keep you. The Holy Spirit moved those men away, not necessarily for their safety, so that others can hear the gospel. Because no matter how hostile this crowd became, the Holy Spirit was able to do what? Save them. Protect them. All right? And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting. I want y'all to understand something here. Lystra and Iconium both was built upon mounds. We would call them a hill. Kind of like, I don't know if any of y'all ever been to Kennesaw Mountain or Stone Mountain in Georgia. Probably not that high, but similar in nature. That's what Iconium was built on. That's what Lystra was built on. Those type of hills. And they can see the taller mountains in their background. And so these brothers are there. And when this happened, it says, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Why do you think the Holy Ghost had Luke to write this there? A crippled man who was crippled from birth, who had never walked. Why do you all think God had him right there, Sierra?
Because there's a Show that the guy never walked.
Other words, God is at work here, isn't it? And this, it parallels what's in John chapter 9 when Jesus walked into the temple complex and there was a man crippled from his birth. And he was about 40 years old. And the disciples asked the question, Lord, who sinned that this man was born crippled? I mean, blind. And the Lord said to them, he said, listen, because they asked a really weird question. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And he said, neither, but that the works of God would be manifested in him. Other words, God's about to show you something. Amen?
Amen?
That was the purpose of why the blind man was in the temple complex. Because it had never been heard before that the eyes of the blind was open. And now in Lystra, you got a man who was crippled from his birth.
I'm not gay.
Remember who these people are in Lystra. Remember who Paul and Barnabas was sent to. These were Gentile, predominantly Gentile communities that worship false gods. And now, can you imagine these brothers, by the power of Jesus, is about to do something that their gods could not do? Oh, they're getting ready to get a message here. And when Luke wrote this in here, he wrote it so that you and I could fix our eyes up on it and say, this is no ordinary thing. This is the work of God himself. And for you to strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of it. And so this man heard Paul speaking. Kind of like when Jesus was passing by Jericho in his last week before he goes to the cross. And there sat a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And he heard the crowd said that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Well, what did he know about Jesus of Nazareth? Because somebody had testified. Somebody had said he can open the eyes of the blind. And that blind man began to scream out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, the multitude tried to shut him up, said, shh, don't trouble the master. And he screamed out even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what happened? He stopped God in his tracks. Boom. And he turned around and said, go get him and bring him to me. How would you like that to happen to you? That you stop God in his tracks and God says, turn around, go get him and bring him to me. And they did. And once that had happened, the Lord Jesus Christ asked that man a question that all of us hope he would ask us. You know what that question is? What is it that you want me to do for you? With an open-ended question like that, some of us, because we begin to name mansions and Cadillacs and Mercedes and stuff, but you know what that man asked? He asked a simple thing, Junior. Lord, that I may see, receive my sight. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, let it be done to you according to your faith. And immediately the man's eyes were open. And that man leaped up and began to rejoice and sing and dance in that multitude about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Lystra, a stronghold of Satan in the Gentile communities. Also, you're going to see a familiar name pop up here for the very first time. And this name, it should open your mind of understanding that if God can do it with this person, he can also do it to me. Look at the context with me. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Did you see that? Some people are not healed when we pray for them simply because they don't believe. Okay? And so this man is hearing Paul preach the gospel and going, I believe. Okay? And then, you know how a couple of weeks ago when we were at Palm Springs, remember me, I said to you all, I observed the man weeping? Because we do, don't think we're up here preaching and we just don't pay attention to you all. We're looking. And Paul paid attention to this man in the crowd. And he saw that the man had faith. So Paul says to him and said with a loud voice, in other words, he wants everybody to hear him. Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Boy, I bet that must have sent them people from Lystra in an uproar. And it also must have made some demons madder than you know what. Amen?
Amen.
And so now, the unbelieving Jews, can you imagine now them being angry at these brothers? Seeing this crippled man, once crippled man, not only leap, but begin to walk, and nobody had to balance him.
Well, they shouldn't be angry. They should say, wow, that's pretty
good. Yeah, they should have been amazed and glorifying God, like you said. But instead, their hearts got harder, just like they did to Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. So, Paul, in verse 11, now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in a Laconian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Do you see the adultery there? But in a sense of understanding and fairness, that's all the Gentiles knew. They didn't know the one true God. They knew the gods that they served. And in the Greek culture, Zeus was their top man, their top god. And now they thought Zeus had came down and healed this man. What did they say? The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men, and Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate, intended to sacrifice with multitudes. The ignorance of men. They only were doing what they believed in and what they had been taught all their lives. But they didn't know that the one true God whom Paul and Barnabas served was the one who had just healed that man. Because they didn't know him. They knew of a God of imagination. They knew this mystical God that they put a name to called Zeus that couldn't do anything for anybody. And it was evidenced that this man was crippled in their town for many years, and their God could do nothing for him. Oh, but when the one true God showed up in Paul and Barnabas by the power of the Holy Ghost, and in the name of Jesus, what happened? The man did what? Oh, don't be bashful with the Lord. The man walked. Not only walked, but he leaped.
Because he truly believed
in this new God that he heard about, this new Jesus. And you know what I believe that moved this man to believe? When Paul told them that God's Son had died on the cross, and 3 days later, God brought him back from the dead. Mm-hmm. That opened, that got that man's attention. Well, he did what? He brought his son back from the dead.
You can't do that.
That's right. You can't do that. We still got graves out here. He must be the true God. He will soon find out for himself, wouldn't he? That's what signs and wonders are all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about making unbelievers into believers. And that's what happened. So now they want to make sacrifices to Paul and to Barnabas with their false gods. And what does Paul and Barnabas do? Verse 14, but when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and said, men, why are you doing these things? We're also all what? Men. We're not gods. With the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. You have got to understand something huge here. And those Jews who were staring up hell in confusion, they should have been the first one running saying, don't do this. Why? Because they had been taught all their lives. What are the Ten Commandments? What are the first one? For I'm the Lord your God, am a what? Jealous God. And then he told them, have no other God before me. And do not make any graven images or bow down to them. They should have been the first one running and said, don't do this. It's all about one God. But instead, they stood back with the hardness of their hearts and did nothing. While these men, these disciples of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God in them, tore their clothes, and any Jew knew the tearing of the clothes mean what? Lamentation. It means mourning, weeping, sorrow. So these men tore their clothes, mean they had rent their hearts because they were broken to see this kind of adultery take place right in front of them and for them. And they would have none of it. And so these Jesus followers, okay, the way these the disciples of Jesus Christ are crying and trying to stop this idolatry from taking place. I got a question to ask you. Adultery take place among us every day in our midst. What do you do to stop it? What do you do? You do nothing because you're afraid that you're going to lose your job if you work for the government? Or you do nothing because you're afraid that they won't be your friends anymore? Do you allow sacrilegion to continue on in your presence and you say nothing about the one true God and his son Jesus? What do, everybody? I'm here to tell you that we must take on the spirit that's in Paul and Barnabas here. And we must be willing to put our lives on the line and our jobs and our reputation to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, God knows the moment if they fire you. God knows the moment if the person says, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Because when the Lord saved me, 95% of my friends walked away. Because I wasn't the crazy Sammy who loved to party and have fun anymore. I was the Sammy now that loved Jesus. I love the things of God more than the things of men. And so, people, sometimes your own families will ostracize you. Say, I don't want anything to do with that Jesus freak. Don't you come around here with that Jesus. Why is it all the time everything come out of your mouth is about Jesus? Why is it every time the only thing we got to hear from you is about God? Why everything has to be religion? Why can't you shut up sometime and just talk like everybody else talk? Because you're not like everybody else. When Jesus saved you, he placed his spirit in you, and you're no longer like everybody else. Amen. You now belong to Jesus, and your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you're not like everybody else. So this Jesus, who just healed this man, is now being opposed by a hostile crowd that want to put Satan up on a pedestal. And the men of God was not going to have anything. They weren't going to have it. And they were doing their very best to stop it. So are you willing to step out there? This is wrong. When people tell me to shut up, Mitchell, about the gospel, I tell them I have the same constitutional right as you do. You have the right not to hear it, and I have the right to say it. So we both are at an impasse now. What are you going to do about it?
My rights are bigger than your right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give me a lawyer. I'm going to sue you. Okay, if that's what you feel you need to do, go do it. Mm-hmm. But I got the greatest lawyer there is. I got the Holy Ghost, and he's my advocate. And just in case you didn't know, the one that you're opposing, he's also my father. And I'm going to go tell my daddy what you just did. And by the way, he's also God. He created you. And he already know what you're doing. And your arms are too short to box with him. You want to give it a shot? Get in the ring with God if you may. Go ahead. I dare you. Go round one with Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. Well, that'll get some folks' attention, won't it? Verse 14, so they're crying out, telling them not to do it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. In verse 15, it said, men, why are you doing these things? Why? We're just like you are in the flesh. And then in verse 16, excuse me, the essence of verse 15, Paul and Barnabas begin to cry out and to show them who this one God is, the only true and living God is. They begin to describe something to these people. What was it they were describing to them? That God is the creator God. He's the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything that's in it. Did you see it in the text? He began to point out to them, this who you messing with now. Okay? This is the one you're messing with. Do you see it? Do you see it? He's telling them, look at it with me. You should turn from these useless things to the living God who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generation allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. In other words, God is the Ancient of Days. He's the creator of all things, and he's the one that allowed you to live.
That's right.
And it is this great crime that you're committing against him. And you got to stop it. Turn away from these false gods and turn to the one and only true God. And that's the kind of cry, that's the kind of urgency that we have to have when we're talking to people who oppose Jesus. I ain't gonna even tell you about yesterday. I was exhausted when I got home from that.
You do business. Whew.
Verse 17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these saying, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. Doggone it. They still wanted to do it. After giving a great testimony about the works of God in the lives of men, these unwise men still want to commit adultery. They still want to sacrifice to these false gods on the behalf of Paul and Barnabas. So what does Paul and Barnabas do? When this crowd is about to explode, when this crowd is so volatile, what do you do? Mr. David, when I was a young soldier, 17, 18, 19, and 20 years old, I used to work with explosives. I used to work with blasting caps. I used to work with detonating cord that blew up 21,000 feet per second. I used to work with shape charges that have what we call the Monroe effect. I used to work with C4, or composition 4, you know, that molded stuff that you shape and all. As long as you don't hit it, you're still alive. That's why it's called composition. As long as you don't compress it, you'll stay alive. You can take, we cut it with a knife, put a blasting cap in it. You can even light it with a cigarette. The soldiers in Vietnam used to light it and it burned bright orange and heat their sea rations with it. As long as you don't step on it. Okay? Folks, you have the ability to handle explosives and not be killed if you follow the power of the Holy Ghost. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go into violent situations and come out alive. But are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in situations like that? I've gone in on the battlefield where enemy soldiers about to pull another one apart over a blanket. It was just that minute had a hold of him, getting ready to pull him apart limb for limb for the blanket because it got cold that night. We had no shelter for them. And I ran in the middle of them and my soldiers before they can get the aim on, they'd have had to kill several of them in order to save me. But by that time, I could have been dead. But my mind says, save this man's life. And I didn't get a medal for that, Mr. David. But I ran in Mitchell and I started grabbing Iraqi soldier and just throwing them and screaming, get off of him. Not regarding my own safety. And by the time my soldiers got to, I had controlled a crowd, about 50 enemy soldiers. And they're going, you are crazy.
See, not only we think that.
But it wasn't me who gave me the strength and the courage to go and do that. Because I was still a man of God. The same Holy Ghost that saved me was also the same one with me on that battlefield. Amen. When I was pulling those men off that other man to save his life. And the Holy Ghost said, you ain't going anywhere. It ain't time for you to die. And it's not time. Oh, yeah. It's not time for you to be limbless. Amen?
Amen.
So I still came home in one piece because of him. As we finish out here, I want you to look at something here. In verse 19, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. Do you remember Iconium? The town in which they had come from some weeks earlier? And you remember the Jews that had stirred things up in Iconium? Well, some also came from Antioch. Do you know what Antioch held? Antioch was the home base of the Apostle Paul and them for ministry. So now, they must have sent a messenger to Antioch, said, y'all got to come up here. And they traveled from Antioch all the way to Iconium, allied with those people, the unbelieving Jews in Iconium, and then they went the 20 plus miles to Lystra.
That was in Turkey?
Yes, ma'am. Which is modern day Turkey, to stir up more trouble for these apostles. These are not Gentiles that's doing this. These are supposed to be God-fearing Jews who hear the scriptures being read every Sabbath in the synagogues. They're the ones who're stirring up trouble. So they came, and having persuaded the multitude, look at this now, having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. Did I tell you all things were going to get pretty bad here? This man now is unconscious. They are dragging him unconscious out of the city. And blood is probably pouring from his wounds from being stoned. And there was nothing that Barnabas or any of the apostles could do. They were greatly outnumbered, Mitchell. And you know what? I want to say this to you all. And the Holy Spirit was there and allowed it to happen. Because he could have stopped it. But it wasn't his will to stop this. Some things, people, we don't understand what God does. Why would he allow his son to get hurt like that? And then to be drugged through the streets like a dead dog. Why? Because there's a greater cause. And that greater cause is for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So because you're suffering a little bit, does it mean Jesus doesn't love you? Because you lost your job or lost your truck or your bank account went bunkers up? Or your next door neighbor decided to move away from next to you because they can't stand you? You don't know. Why did my house burn down? Why did God allow this to happen? Let's look at it a little bit closer as we get ready to close out today. Supposing him to be dead, however, when the disciples gathered around him. Did you catch that phrase? He said, however, Luke said, when the disciples, that means those newly converted Gentiles are now Christians, along with Barnabas, gathered around Paul's supposedly lifeless body. What did you think was on the inside of those disciples?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes! And when they gathered together, it was power coming from them. Well, y'all not getting it. When God's children came together with the Holy Ghost in them, there was great power flowing from them.
That's right. Amen.
And when they gathered around him, He rose up and went into the city.
Good.
They didn't have to carry him, Junior.
Back again.
He went on his own accord. Got up after just being knocked unconscious and drugged for X number of distance. Who knows how far? And now, when God's people, full with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, got around that brother, the Holy Ghost revived them. Yes! Give God some glory! So the Holy Spirit knew exactly what he was going to do.
Sure did.
Amen?
Amen.
We don't always know. Why would God allow his son to be knocked out like that? We don't know. But Lord Jesus allowed it. And then?
Well, that showed the people. That knocked them out.
And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now they're going a little bit further. Now, everybody, he's on the borderline of the region of Galatia. Derbe is close on the borderline. And this is not very good country. Because now they have to go through these two gates, these mountains that look like gates. It's a narrow passage. Well, nowadays they got six-lane highways running through it. And they had to go through there. And it was at this place, you know what it was about Derbe, Mitchell? It was at the end where Roman rule ended. They were no longer under Rome's protection. Okay?
Outposts.
What does that mean, Mr. David? You're on your own. That means there are bands of renegades out there. And you got no protection from the Roman army. Because remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. So he got the protection of the Roman army. Now, him and Barnabas was what? On their own. But were they really on their own? No. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra. What? Why would you go back to the place where they first started trouble with you and where you just got knocked out at? He went back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, the places that opposed them. The brothers went back.
That's right.
You tell me that's not a God thing. You remember when Jesus was over near the Jordan and the messenger came and told him that Lazarus was sick?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stayed two more days, and finally, he said, let us go. And you remember the voice of Thomas, old doubting Thomas? Thomas said, Lord, you're going to go back to Jerusalem, and you know they're waiting to kill you? And you still going to go back there? And Jesus said, yes. And finally, Thomas came to his senses and said, okay, let us go and die with him. Sometimes you know you're going to be going into a death trap. But God's mission will be completed. God already knows what's opposing you. He already knows what you're facing. Okay? Lord Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Satan and his minions still bow down to Jesus.
Amen.
So the Lord Jesus Christ knows what he's sending you into. I don't care how many enemies there are. God is greater.
Amen.
Just we close out, and you'll get ready to get Miss Nelson. So they went back, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be easy. It's not a bed of roses. People are going to get on your nerves and people are going to attack you. They may attack your character and they may attack your physical body. But there's no reason to quit on God. There's no reason to denounce Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do, there's something greater that you're going to be facing on the day of judgment. You're going to be facing Jesus himself. And you're going to probably say, as he said over in Matthew chapter 7, Lord, on that day, did we not prophesy in your name and perform miracles and wonders and cast out demons and heal the sick? And he said, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? He said, because I never knew you. You heard me tell you last week, right, about Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. It didn't end well for him. On earth, yes, he leaves behind a great legacy. But he decided when he joined the Nation of Islam that he would turn his back on Jesus Christ. He renounced the Lord Jesus Christ and called it the white man religion. Are you all aware of that? And because he'd done that, now he will stand in judgment. He will stand before Jesus himself and give judgment, receive judgment, shall I say. Now, if I said that out there to the poplar, they would want to stone me and drag me out the city. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to be out of your mind. Muhammad Ali was a good man. And a lot of them would be so-called Christians saying it. You got to be crazy. Muhammad Ali is in heaven. Well, yeah. Well, I guess you don't know the word of God then. As we close out, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Did you see that, Mr. David? Mission accomplished. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentile. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Mission accomplished. And it wasn't without trial and tribulation. These men almost lost their lives. But they refused to give up. They refused. So today, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. But you know. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that if your life is not right with Jesus right now, you need to make it your point today to get right with Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be faithful to him. You're at this point now that Jesus is saying to you, it is required that a servant be found faithful. And that we have to be. And I'm going to tell you, husbands that are in here, you men of God, when the woman you love don't feel like going on, guess who must go on? We must go on. And sisters, that man that you love and married to, when he doesn't feel like going on in Christ, guess who must go on? You all, you better raise your hand too. You must go on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Boys and girls, look at me. When mom and daddy decide that they don't want to walk with Jesus anymore, you must walk with Jesus. No matter what mom and dad are doing. But I don't think any of these you're going to do that. Amen?
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 Amen.
And even if a girlfriend decides not to walk with Jesus anymore, you must walk on. And even if a boyfriend decide not to walk with Jesus anymore, you must walk on. Amen? Because Paul and Barnabas demonstrated by the Holy Ghost, when others refused to walk on with God, they walked on anyway. They trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if they tried to kill you, you must walk on. I want you to do something for me. Say amen.
Amen.
In there.
Say it in the microphone.
Say amen. Say amen. Say walk on. Say it in the microphone. Say walk on. In Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Say it again. In Jesus.
Amen.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't realize I just made your son a little preacher. That's right. Oh, boy, we're ready to get started. But to God be the glory. Men of God, have your seat. Everybody stand as we sing our chorus line before the Lord. Deacon Amelia, come on up.
Trying to make me sing.
We got the choir heaven behind us. We're just gonna join in with them. Every voice is raised. In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Every wrist army rising up. Come on, sing it, baby. There's an army rising. To break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, yeah! Break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. I walk in the name of Jesus. Come on, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break his army, and that's you and me, rising up. There's an army rising up. Rising up. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Burn it, open the door. Chain, keep it going. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Well, in the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, keep it going. Every chain, break every chain, to break every chain. Tell them demons, it's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Sing it from your heart and mean it. Every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. To 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 break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Woo!
Let's do the mix off. Be good.
That was amazing.
I tell you, whoo, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Praise God. What a way to end the church, praising God with your heart. The kids were awesome.
Yes, amen. God be the glory.
Well, I'm going to close in prayer, but I wanted to read this to you.
Make it so
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and unto his son, saying on these wise things, that the children of Israel, to bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord shine his face upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And thou shalt put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
You need to speak to your children every day, just like God says. He told Moses, talk to Aaron and your children, to do that every single day. You talk to your children, and then they will talk to their children.
Amen.
And they will praise God like we did just now. And they won't even have to come to church. They can do that at home.
Amen.
Just walking around praising God. That is awesome. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning that we've all come together and praised you.
Yes, Lord.
May we continue when we walk out from this place of worship. Because when we're outside walking in your creation that you have created, and for people that don't believe, that they will believe when they see us doing it, that you are the true God, you are the creator, you are the God that made not only us, but them also, and that they should believe.
Yes, Lord.
So we thank you, Father. Take care of your children as they go out about their daily work, business, schools. Keep them safe, Lord. And may they lift your name up all day as they go about their life. We honor you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. You're dismissed. Hey, deacons. I just sent something. Let's put the song, the last thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
We'll do that and then we'll sing. And
then we'll go out and do praising God.
Amen.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right. You can start singing Break Every Chain, Miss, as they walk out the door. You do it. Yeah, you do it.
Just play it.
Hey, baby. Oh.
Baby.
Kobe, wait on your dad. Move the chair back, Kobe. Wait on your dad.
Bunny.
In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Orlando hospitals need blood.
Who?
Orlando hospitals are crying out for blood. Shooting victims.
Everybody, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's been a tragedy in Orlando with a mass shooting. Keep playing. And Lord God, we're asking now that you touch the hearts of people that need blood, that need all kinds, every type. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to send your children right now in the droves to go there and to donate their blood to save lives. And Father, we're asking also that you bring healing in the name of Jesus to the ones that's been wounded. Lord, not let another life be lost this way. From this shooting. Now, Lord, we praise you and we love you. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In your precious name we pray. Amen. And that's power in the name of Jesus.
Excuse me.
You go, girl.
Oh,